How many people have seen the show The Chosen, that series, The Chosen? Something that's very interesting. That's a great show. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. I know there's some things sometimes that you can't agree with everything 100% of the time, but that's really it's really piqued my interest in the disciples. Because I love how they portray Jesus as a human and not just as a, you know, this untouchable God, which he is, but he also had a very human factor as well. But it also piqued my interest in disciples. So I've been studying his disciples a lot. And Sunday school, I believe, is more for, not really sermons, Sunday school is for learning, right? You learn at school. And only a quarter of Christians can name all 12 disciples. Only one quarter of Christians can name all 12 disciples. So we're going to pop quiz right now. But we'll work together as a group. And I'm not going to tell you where to go find the list of disciples either, because that is cheating. I asked my church people down there in Costa Rica, I said, all right, let's name the disciples. And one lady goes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, X. I said, yes, no, no, yes, that one's not even a human. So, all right, 12 disciples. Let's name them. Don't look. Let's name them. Okay, wait. Well, one at a time. James, okay. Get those two out of the way. Matthew, John, Andrew, Thaddeus, also known as, just to his best friends, also known as Levius. Or Judas, okay. Thomas. Judas Iscariot. Peter, most famous one. Simon is Peter. 9. But you guys have said them in different orders. I don't know if I can get the ones the other three are missing. Bartholomew, also known as... Oh my goodness, guys. Just when he has guests, no? Also known as Nathaniel. Okay. So who all have we named? I don't know. Yeah, someone said Thomas. Philip, okay, we're missing one more. Two Jews, but also known as Thaddeus or Lebius. So, Thad, also known as Thad, to his best friends, apparently. I think Jesus called him like Pete and John and Jimmy. I don't know. We're missing one, the missing link. He was kind of zealous about some things. Simon the Zealot, there we go. All right, as a group, we got it. I don't know if we all sat down and wrote them down. I don't know if we'd have got them all, but that's okay. So, the Bible says that we're going to go to Matthew 10, 1 through 5. Matthew 10, 1 through 5. So I just wanted to study the disciples today. Brother, you're in charge of Sunday school, correct? Of the scheduling? Okay. I'm not 100% sure I'll be here next week, so I might be in Europe. I'm not sure. So look, for those of you that don't know, yes, we have come off the field. We have left Costa Rica. It was just ridiculous down there. Lord did about... showed me about 3 or 4 different things in a row. We lost the house. They started making the QR code where you had to have the vaccine to go places. And then they started vaccinating everyone 5 years old and up. There was a little 6-year-old boy that went to the hospital. Was that 2 weeks ago? And he wasn't vaccinated and his parents weren't vaccinated. So the hospital said parents couldn't come in. They weren't going to give the boy back to the parents. So they stormed the hospital, literally. They stormed the hospital. The mom was pregnant, or is pregnant, and they smacked the mom around, arrested her right in front of the 6-year-old boy, and then just vaccinated the 6-year-old boy in front of everyone. And then they came out and said, the child services said that hospitals have every right to vaccinate whoever they want to. Doesn't matter what the parents say. So that was the Lord. That was the last straw. And we had known we were leaving anyway, so... I'm almost 40 years old. I'm living in my parents' basement, so please don't make fun of me right now. Okay? Do not make fun of me. yes, ma'am. Okay. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. That's how they're doing down there. There's a guy that's kind of in charge of the anti-vaccine movement down there, and they arrested him just for disturbing the peace and locked him in his house for 6 months. Were you a senior citizen decades ago or now? Okay. Well, I try to avoid them at all costs. All right, Matthew 10, 1 through 5. So that is the case. So we're praying. I have a very good friend. I do a lot of things online with him. I met him on deputation. He is a missionary in Belgium. And I've been there before, and we really like the area. And I do a lot of things online with him, so I do a lot of video calls. And he had asked me about 3 months ago when he heard everything that's going on. He said, would you consider praying about coming here? So I said, so we'll pray about it, see what the Lord says. So I'm going to go there, check it out if I can get in. I'm not vaccinated, obviously, so I'm having issues getting in there. And if the Lord doesn't open the doors, then we're just going to settle here. Settle in the States here, maybe take a Spanish ministry somewhere. I'm not sure. Honestly, I really don't know. So just pray for wisdom, for guidance, for direction, because it's not fun right now to be almost 40 years old living in your parents' basement. Seriously, I used to make fun. I used to make fun of those people. Now I am one of those people. So. But that's all right. Lord knows. We're going to Matthew 10. Larry Ray. Matthew 10, 1 through 5. Should we put him on the spot and ask him if he can name all 12 disciples? No? Well, we know Bart and Thad and Pete and Jimmy, so we got those four. Go to Matthew 10, 1 through 5. We're going to study the 12 disciples today. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, also known as Nathaniel, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And who was the 13th? Once Judas, Matthias, there you go, good job. So these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the city, into the way, excuse me, of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans, and enter ye not. So these 12 men literally turned the whole world upside down. The Bible says that in Acts. These men turned the world upside down. So I kind of feel these 12 men get overlooked a lot. I think that as Christians, we should study them because we do come from them. I'm not a Baptist writer, okay? I don't believe the Baptist church started in Acts 2. I don't believe that at all. But the church did, and we come from them. Those are our spiritual forefathers. So we should know more about them. We really should. And down there in Costa Rica, they have this huge thing. It's called your carbon footprint. You know, they're very earth-friendly down there. They throw their trash everywhere, but they're also very earth-friendly. So they always talk about their carbon footprint, and they want you to plant trees if you drive cars around. But we have a spiritual footprint as well, right? How big is our spiritual footprint? Do we have this tiny little baby one, or do we have this big old one? Like these disciples here had this huge spiritual footprint. They have touched us today. They really have touched us. They went all over the world, preaching the gospel all over the entire world. They took the gospel all the way to India and to Syria and to Spain. Paul's not a disciple, but he went to Spain, but others just went everywhere. And that just has spread and spread and spread to us nowadays. So I just wanted to look at some of the disciples, just learn some things about them, because the interesting thing about them is they come from so many different backgrounds. How many of us here grew up in a Christian house? I grew up in a Christian house. Kayla did. Mrs. Ski did. Grandma. Rachel. But Ray. It's Donna, Brother Phillips. Some of us did, some of us didn't. So we come from different backgrounds, right? But God calls a whole bunch of different people, right? Being a missionary, you see a whole bunch. I saw a whole bunch of different backgrounds in our church, a whole bunch of different backgrounds. I don't think any of them grew up in church, did they? What? Carlos. Oh, yeah, he did. He got away from the Lord. Went and got a bunch of gang tattoos all over himself, and he came back to the Lord. No, he really did. Some pretty bad tattoos, too. Looked like a 5-year-old colored on his arm. I'd never tell him that because he'd probably kill me. But I can say here because he's down there. I'm here. So I'm safe. But Lord doesn't care about our background. That's the important thing. Lord doesn't care about our backgrounds. Lord doesn't care if we grew up in church, if we grew up out of church. He just wants us to work for him. So I want to look at some of the different professions. Or actually, we're going to read Mark 3:14 through 19 as well, another list of the disciples, before we get going too far. Mark 3:14 through 19. And here's you see some of the other different names. And this is anything too deep or too profound, but just something I think that, something I like. I've read my Bible many times through. And I'm actually almost on the fifth time in Spanish. So I'm working on there, Brother Ray. How many times? Is that good? 5 times okay? All right. I honestly don't know how many times in English. I think it's around 70. So I enjoy little obscure facts of the Bible. I really do. Because God puts things in the Bible for a reason. And sometimes when you get reading, your brain just goes into auto mode. And you just kind of, autopilot there. And you just kind of just skim and skim and skim. And you don't really know the church people. You don't know the church people. You don't know the people of the Bible. Mark 3:14 through 19 says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, He surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite, also known as Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. So there were these only two times in the Bible that he lists all 12 names. If you do cross references and reading different mentions of them in the Bible, you see different names, like Bartholomew and Nathaniel is the same person, Thaddeus, Levius, and Judas is all the same person. But Jesus called a whole bunch of different people from all different walks of life. Now, what kind of professions? What kind of professions do we know? Most of them are fishermen, right? That's what we mostly know. Tax collector. And the Bible really doesn't say a whole lot about the other stuff. Down there in Costa Rica, my best friend, he might be my best friend in the whole world. His name is Steve. He's a fisherman. And would you consider him a missionary? He does more humanitarian work. He looks like Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. He really does. He has hair down to here. He was homeless for about 25 years. He was a fisherman for about 25 years. Suffered all kinds of abuse as a child. Every kind of abuse you can think of, he suffered as a child. Got saved at, I think, 40, 41 years old. Said, I want to help people. I want to serve the Lord. So he just goes down. He went down to Costa Rica. Doesn't know anything about the Bible. Nothing. So I study with him. He's severely dyslexic, can't read. But he always tells me, he's like, yeah, Jesus called fishermen, and that's what he called me. So he's a great guy. It's funny, when we first started doing the Bible things, I'd tell him, okay, you read your Bible, because he can't read very, he's not illiterate, but pretty close. I said, you listen to your Bible, and you tell me the Bible stories, and I'll help you where you miss. So he's telling me all kinds of stories. He told me about Moses. He got mad, in his own words, said Moses got mad one day and he put the wampi on someone and wampied him too hard and they died. So he had to run from the old man. So I had to help him. But he told me one story about Stephen. He said when he first got saved, he heard this story about Stephen in the Bible. And Steve, my friend, was a massive stoner. Massive stoner. So he heard about Stephen getting stoned in the Bible, and he told me, he's like, they did that back then? I was like, not that kind of stoning, Steve. A different kind. He died, okay? And he was just shocked. He thought it was something else. But he's probably my best friend in the world. And he always talks about the fishermen. That's why he likes those fishermen. I would go to John 21. We're going to see these fishermen. So who are the four fishermen? Who are the four fishermen? We have Peter and his brother. Who's his brother? Andrew's his brother. John was also a fisherman and his brother, James. So we know those four for sure are fishermen. Jesus called them when they were out mending their nets. It appears, I'm not going to say for sure, it appears that a couple others might be fishermen as well. John 21, 2 through 4, if I can get there. I'm sorry, verse 1. John 21, 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, I hear pages turning, I'll wait. Verse 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana, also known as Bartholomew, in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And if you read the story, you know this one, Jesus appears to him and asks Peter three times if he loves him. But here it says, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the two sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were all out there fishing. So we know for certain that Peter, James, John, and Andrew were fishermen. And it appears that perhaps Thomas and Nathanael were also fishermen. And it says two other disciples, we don't know. I doubt Matthew was out there, his tax collector with his little soft hands. I don't think he was out there. But so Jesus really liked hanging around those fishermen, didn't he? He really liked hanging around those guys. And those are tough guys. Those are some really big, tough, strong guys. It shows that Jesus wasn't a little fruitcake, was he? That they show in the pictures. Man, I've been out of America for about 5 years. We came back and something happened. Jen and I went to Dairy Queen yesterday because tomorrow's Vienna's birthday and we got a birthday cake. And the kid behind the counter was like, I couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl. And there's another kid sitting over there with hair down to his shoulders. I said, we're in DeMott. It's like, man, what happened to the fruitification of America? Man, I thought it was just down in Costa Rica, but it definitely is. Something has changed in the last 5 years. I felt like America passed me by and I missed something. Really glad my boys didn't catch that, though. I won't let that in my house either, though. That's okay. So we have a fisherman. We'll go to Mark 2. Mark 2:14. And I think Mrs. Phillips said this one. Mark 2:14. This one Jesus called Levi, also known as Matthew. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. So we got to think of something in this, though. Because, you know, we always say this, right? Fisherman, tax collector, this. And I think the show Chosen really brings this out very well. Those disciples probably hated Matthew. They probably hated Levi Matthew. He's worked for the Romans. They hated the Romans. I mean, with a passion, they hated the Romans. This man was taking their money, basically a thief. I mean, I don't think any of us, our best friends, would be an IRS agent, would they? I don't think so. If I knew an IRS agent, I wouldn't be too happy with them. I got to pay double taxes for about 5 years. It was great. Paid in Costa Rica and here. And I complained every month. I did. I'd even complain in Jesus' name. I just straight out complained every month. I went there and paid my taxes. I had free health care that I paid 200 something bucks a month for my free health care. So socialism, it's great. Coming to America soon. But here's another interesting thing, though. Keep your finger here in Mark 2. Let's go to Matthew 10:3. Jesus also called a lot of brothers. James and John were brothers. Peter and Andrew were brothers. And I'm not going to say for certain, but it does look like Levi Matthew was brothers with others. If you look at Matthew 10:3, it says, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus. If you look in Mark 2, verse 14, Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Now, there might have been more than one Alphaeus. I don't know. If you go to Acts 1:13, we're going to run a lot of verses here today. Acts 1:13 says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, also known as Lebius or Thaddeus, the brother of James. So there are three sets of brothers, James and John, James and Judas, Peter and Andrew, and it looks like Matthew could be a third brother of James and Judas. So Jesus liked to keep it in the family. And there's kind of evidence that James and John perhaps were cousins of Peter and Andrew. So Jesus liked to keep everything in the family there. It was really good. Honestly, there's nothing more I love than seeing brothers that are preachers. I think that's great. Or father, son, or cousins. I think it's great. There's several families we met. When you go on deputation, you meet a lot of different churches. And we've seen several families where there's three or four generations that are all preachers. And all the brothers are preachers. It's great. I love it. I think that's absolutely awesome. Not everyone's called to the ministry. I realize that. But I believe if you keep in the family and if the whole family serves the Lord, you show something to the world that it's real. You know, it's not just one crazy brother, one crazy dad. It's the whole family serving the Lord together. I think that's awesome. And as a father, I always tell my boys, I don't expect you to. My dad was great about this. My dad never once pushed me to the ministry, never once. And I always tell my boys, you don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a preacher. If the Lord calls, and I pray that the Lord calls them, because I would like that. But I have to show them that, you know, I have to be the same here as I am at home. I can't be a hypocrite. You know, I can't be this at one place at church and a different place. So that's part of my job. But Jesus really kept it in the family. Okay, so we have fishermen, we have tax collector. What else do we have? Yeah, but he wasn't a disciple. But Luke was a doctor, but he wasn't a disciple. But we have a zealot. It's not mentioned in the Bible. Obviously, Simon the Zealot. But that's kind of, back in that time, they were obviously bent on overthrowing the Romans, but they were more of a political party. Right, he wasn't a disciple, though. He didn't meet the criteria. He's always included as a 13th disciple, but he didn't meet the criteria. Because, well, since we're talking about that, what's the criteria? Anyone know? Since we're in Acts 1, what's the criteria to be a disciple? That's right. From the beginning. Acts 1, we're here at Acts 1. Where am I at? Verse 22. No, verse 21, excuse me. Acts 1:21 says, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So they had criteria. They had to be there from all of his miracles. They had to walk with him since the baptism of John and see him resurrected. And we know the Bible says that Jesus was seen by over 500 at one time. So he appeared to the 12, he appeared to the two walking on the road to Emmaus, but then he appeared to a whole group of them, 500 at one time. So these are the criteria. So Paul is usually lumped in with the disciples. He's not. He actually accomplished more than disciples. And they call him an apostle. There's a little bit of a difference, so you can call him an apostle. But those are that's the criteria to be part of this 12. Is there, maybe they call themselves that. There's a church down there in the area where we had. They're called Aposento Alto. So the High Apostle. That was their church. That was the name of their church, the High Apostles. So there's a bunch of them, I guess. I don't know. They had like 100 people there too. Of course, when you tell your people you have to go to church, if you don't go to church, you go to hell, then I guess people can go to church. So I don't know if the apostles really did that, but that's okay. So the zealots, that's more of a political factor. They're bent on working against the Romans. So he was kind of a politician, possibly, Simon the Zealot. We know Judas. We're going to go to John 12. This isn't necessarily a profession. He's a thief. Maybe he's a professional pickpocket. You don't know. You got to get by somehow, right? Professional con man. Maybe he started that Nigerian scam. I don't know. Maybe he sent up emails to people and said, maybe, you never know. He sent him through scroll. He's the first Nigerian scammer. John 12:4-6. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Do they ever care for the poor? But because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put in. So this isn't necessarily a profession, but he was a thief. The Bible gives you little clues about these disciples. But all the other disciples, they're not really mentioned, their occupation. History, and I know history is not infallible. History says that some are kind of like Philip and Thaddeus, or Judas, Levius, and James the Less were some type of tradesmen. But again, that's history. That's not infallible, that's not the Bible, but it is interesting. History has some truth as well. So I learned some interesting facts about these men. Why did Jesus call them? You know, Jesus, they all had different personalities. Imagine 13 people, men, with counting Jesus, 13 men walking around for 3.5 years. I'm assuming there was some friction. You know, maybe someone had some stinky feet in the mornings, some bad morning breath. Sometimes they got hungry. Someone was hungry. Someone else wasn't hungry. They're thirsty. They're probably fighting. But somehow Jesus made it all work. And one of them was a devil, even the Bible says, Judas Iscariot. But we're going to go to Mark 3:17. James and John, the brothers, I like them the best because they were known for their temper. They had a little bit of fire in them. Mark 3:17. Excuse me. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. If you go to Luke 5, I probably should go to Luke 5, sorry. Luke 5, 54. Luke 5, 54 says, and when his disciples James and John saw this, this is some Samaritan just kind of being rude to Jesus. Luke 9, 54? Yes, did I say the wrong one? I'm sorry. In my defense, half my notes are in Spanish, so I'm going to use that defense. Although this one was in English when I wrote it down, so I'll just use it. Yeah, 9:54. Okay, Luke 9:54 says, and when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? These guys have been reading the Old Testament way too much. Although that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, is when Elijah, they come down to Elisha, and Elisha says, I'm not the man of God. Yeah, you are. Well, if I am, go ahead and burn up. Boom. I tried that as a kid. My name's not Brent, then burn up. And it didn't work. I must not have the power of the Lord on me or something. I don't know. I did try that, though. But verse 55 says, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So I like reading these things because it reminds me, the disciples were very flawed. We know Peter cursed. He denied Jesus 3 times. He didn't just deny him. He's like, blankety, blankety, blank, blankety, blank. Right? He was cursing, the Bible says. He had issues. They all had issues. All the disciples had issues. And something that always just strikes me, I find it hilarious. Jesus tells us, does this great miracle and does these wonderful works, tell these deep parables, and disciples are bickering about who's the best of them all. Like, come on, guys. And then Jesus asks them, what were you fighting about? You know, oh, they didn't want to say anything, did they? Like, well, Nothing important. They're humans like us. God can use humans like us to touch the whole world. He used the disciples, and he used us. And he uses us, thank the Lord. So James and John had terrible temporal problems. Peter did as well, obviously. He chopped a guy's ear off. He's like, when they took Jesus, he just took out a sword and smacked this guy's ear off. So these people, they had some flaws. They had serious flaws. Something interesting about Thomas. Go to John 11. John 11, 16. John 11, 16. Thomas, I always feel bad for Thomas. He gets a bad rap. He's only really mentioned twice in the Bible. One time, he's doubting Jesus. And the other time, when it's after Lazarus dies, and Jesus said, we're going to go to Bethany. Thomas says, let's go so we can die with him. I think his middle name might have been Eeyore. I don't know. It might have been. He's imagining this big old cloud over his head. But I feel like he kind of gets a bad rap, though, because he always, it's just negative. Two things he has mentioned is negative, both. But he's still stuck with the Lord 3.5 years. But interesting but thing about Thomas, John 11, verse 16, says, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. And it also says that, and then we're going to go to John 20, 24 as well. The Bible mentions it twice here. John 20, 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So here's just, this is nothing deep, this is just a fun fact. What's that Didymus mean? Does anyone know? It means twin. Thomas was a twin. Isn't that interesting? I just found that interesting. The Bible actually put it in there twice. It's a Greek word. I don't run to the Greek. You guys know that. But it's a Greek word meaning twin. And Thomas in Aramaic also means twin. So they walked around calling him twin. And I know in America we don't really do that, but in other cultures they do that. A guy down there in Costa Rica, he's a good friend of mine. We call him Gemelo, which means twin. I actually didn't know his real name for about 3 years. I really didn't. Then someone wrote Carlos, like, who is Carlos? I said Gemelo. So, which literally we call him twin. So it's still very, very prevalent in other different countries that people just call each other twins. So that's kind of, can you imagine if Mike and Critter, you walked around and just called them twin? Hey, twin. That'd be a little weird, wouldn't it? Like, why bother naming them then? I don't know. Twin 1 and Twin 2, you can do that. Or Johnny and Danny, yeah. But that's just something interesting that the Bible, Jesus puts stuff in there for us to discover, doesn't he? He puts stuff in there for us to discover. And when we just kind of skim down it, you miss it. You really do. Okay, first disciple. Who was the first disciple to follow Jesus? The very first disciple. Andrew, John 1:40. Also, interesting note, he was a disciple of John the Baptist first. And Andrew, I love it. Andrew actually is my favorite disciple in the Bible. He's only mentioned about 3 times outside the list. But every time he's mentioned, he's bringing something to Jesus. He brought John, we're going to read John 1, verse 40, says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. This is after Jesus came in. When John said, behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. Verse 40 says, and one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. But Andrew, for some reason, was not ever included. There's that three circle there, James, John, and Peter. It's like the three famous ones. And for some reason, I never understood. Andrew was never really included in that. But I always thought, I always loved Andrew. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Something else about Andrew, John 6, verse 8. There's only 3 times that Andrew is mentioned a part of that list of disciples. John 6, verse 6, verse 8. John 6, verse 8. And this is right after one of the miracles, or right before one of the miracles, excuse me, when Jesus did the loaves and the fishes. But John 6, 8 said, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. So Andrew's always saying something to Jesus. John 12, verses 20 through 22. Andrew had this tendency to always bring people to Jesus. He didn't really look for himself. He didn't look and say, like Peter, and I love Peter, but Peter would occasionally open his mouth and say stupid things. A lot of times he'd say stupid things. Like, I'm never gonna deny you, Jesus. Denies him about 5 hours later. He says all these things. And Jesus even called Peter Satan at one point. But Andrew never did anything. John 12, verse 20 through 22 says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus." Andrew's really only mentioned three times outside the list of disciples. And every single time, he's talking to Jesus. Told his brother, hey, we found Jesus. Told these Greeks, hey, come see Jesus. Told this little boy, hey, come see Jesus. Andrew's my favorite disciple. He's my personal favorite disciple because he's always bringing people to Jesus Christ. He's also the first disciple to follow Jesus, the Bible says there. John, we're going to go back to John 1:44. John 1:44. Obviously, Andrew and Peter were from the same town. They were brothers. But also, Philip was part of their town. So a lot of these guys knew each other before it even happened. John 1:44 says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter." And what did Philip do? He's only mentioned a couple times in the Bible as well. Bringing the Greeks to Jesus. If you look at the next verse, "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael is also called Bartholomew other times. But Philip is the same as Andrew. Those two guys, I think, had the same heart, bringing people to Jesus. If you look at that, Andrew got his brother Peter. Philip got Nathanael. These guys were just kind of bringing each other along, saying, hey, we found them. And that's how we're supposed to do it. We bring people along. It's not the pastor's job to go win everybody, is it? So I always tell my church people down there, I said, we're part of a chain. You bring him. I can't go and get them all. I can't. But they all bring part of a chain. And I always told one lady, Carla, I said, you started this chain. I said, you got your son to come, he got saved, and then you got your husband to come, and he got saved. I said, we're part of a chain. I said, it's not just the pastor, not just the missionary, it's the church people as well. And that's how these disciples, Jesus didn't go out finding everybody. He didn't. He walked by and John said, look at that guy. And Andrew said, I want that. And he got his brother, went. Philip said, I want to go, and got Nathanael and went. That's how we're supposed to do it. Let's see. How long do we go till? 5 till. Okay, I got 10 minutes. Sweet. Okay, because I got a lot of material. another interesting fact. Sam Gipp actually preached, a sermon about this, and I heard this about a month ago. What Sam Gipp said here. It was very, very interesting. I never heard of it. John 12:4. This is a famous story. We're not going to go there. Sorry. Matthew 26:6. I'm sorry. I have too many notes here. We're going to go to John in a bit. But Matthew 26:6. This is this very famous, popular story of when Jesus went to the leper's house, Simon the leper's house, and Mary washed his hair. Matthew 26:6 said, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat." So we see it's, we're going to go to Mark 14:3. We're going to use a lot of scripture to kind of prove this thing here. Mark 14:3, almost the same verse, says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper." So we also, if we read other verses, we know this Simon was kind of a member of the Pharisee, but he obviously didn't have leprosy. Too bad, because he still had a house. Maybe he had some power, some authority there, because usually the lepers got kicked out of the city right away, as soon as they discovered it. So this man had some sway. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, now we're going to go to John 12:4. Because Sam Gipp always says, and I totally agree with this, you got to put yourself in the moment, in the story. We know the end of the story. So it's kind of, when David picks up the 5 stones, we know he's going to win. You know, he kills Goliath. We know he cuts his head off. So you're not really sitting there on the edge of your seat, right? You got to put yourself in that story. We don't know, pretend like you don't know the end. John 12, I'll read verse 1. "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper. So then we see verse 3, Mary took the pound of ointment there of spikenard and and rubbed his feet. Verse 4, very interesting. "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, whose son?" Simon's son. Pretty interesting, isn't it? I never saw it until Sam Gitt pointed that out. About a month ago, I saw it in a sermon. Had you seen that before, Brother Paul? You have? I never had. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know there were some fights there. You know there were some fights in that family. But it's interesting because Sam Gitt preached about this. He said the miracle that Jesus, you should listen to it. It's up on Hope Baptist Church website sometime in probably middle of January. Oh, it's snowing out. Oh, I want to go back to Costa Rica so bad. That's okay. But he called this, it's a very good sermon. You should look it up, called The Miracle That Jesus Didn't Do. And because I'm assuming Simon the leper, the Bible never says anything about Jesus healing this leper. Never says anything. Simon is Judas's dad. Judas is mad that Simon didn't get healed. Sam Gitt kind of implies that this might be part of the reason why Judas betrayed Jesus. Obviously, we know the devil entered into Judas. We know all that. But he thinks part of the reason was because Judas was mad. Because Jesus didn't heal his dad. I mean, it could be. Yeah, we got to put human emotion into it as well, don't we? We just think everything, and I don't think it's 100% the reason. And he didn't say it was either. I believe it was kind of, I mean, the devil entered into him. It's going to happen. But that part of the reason might be because of this. And we can't just say everything's, you know, cosmically preordained by, you got to throw human emotion into it. Judas was a human. Even if the devil indwelt in him, he was a human. I mean, he obviously had bad tendencies, and if his dad was a Pharisee, if his dad was one of the Pharisees, the sect of the Pharisee, explain why he's a thief. Oh. Excuse me, sorry. But that's just something very interesting that I saw that before, or that Sam Gitt pointed out. Okay, we know Paul wasn't a disciple because he didn't meet the criteria. Of these disciples, Peter wrote 2 books, John wrote 5, Matthew wrote 1. So some people say that James the Less wrote James. That's not proof. We don't know. It could be, it couldn't be, and I'm not going to sit here and make a big stand on it. So could be or couldn't be. Same with Judas. Could be or couldn't be. But that's just something else interesting. Okay. Got about 5 minutes. Okay, the deaths. Now, we know only 2 are mentioned in the Bible. Who are the 2 that are mentioned, their deaths are mentioned in the Bible? James is 1. The deaths mentioned in the Bible of these disciples. Only 2 were mentioned. We'll go to James first because Brother Paul said that. We're going to Acts 12, 2. Actually, we'll start in verse 1. Acts 12, 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, a brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." So we know James, who's... Peter's not meant... John 20? Right, that's how it's signified, but it wasn't actually recorded when he died. Judas. Yes, sir. Matthew 27, 5. Matthew 27, 5. Verse 4. Matthew 27, 4 says, "Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he parted and went and hanged himself." Now, here's some parts where people will say the King James Bible has an error. I personally do not believe it has an error. I believe it's absolutely perfect. So if you look in Acts 1, they talk about, you know, the cursed man falling and his bowels bursting asunder. Obviously, he hung himself, then his body fell after the earthquake, and then he fell and his body exploded. There's not an error in the Bible. If you're looking for an error in the Bible, it's because you're wrong, right? Because you're wanting to find something. You're not going to find something because there's no errors in there. But those are the only 2 that are mentioned in the Bible. History, like I said before, is not perfect, but you can learn from it. So history records that only one disciple, died a natural death. Yes, sir, in the Isle of Patmos. But after he was dunked in a vat of boiling water. Oof, imagine it. Who? No, thank you. No, thank you. The things that these people suffered for Jesus. And I'm complaining about the cold. Right? the things these men suffered for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we can't pass out tracts because someone might make fun of us. Man, we have fallen. I told my dad yesterday, I said, after I saw how fruity people are getting, I said, man, if that greatest generation came back, they'd smack us silly, and we deserve it. The disciples came back, they'd smack us silly too, and we deserve it, wouldn't we? We really would. But, okay, according to history, although I said, like I said, it's not perfect, Peter, like Brother Tim said there, yes, he died on the cross. I don't know if you guys, according to history, you guys know how he died? Upside down, because he said he was not worthy to die like his Savior. He was killed by the Romans, history says, around 64 AD. His brother Andrew, how did he die? No. He was killed, that was someone else. He also was crucified, but on an X. And by the Greeks in 60 AD. So 4 years before his brother died, he died. Again, this is history. This isn't infallible. James, yeah, we talked about him getting beheaded. Philip was murdered around 80 AD by the Greeks. He's either stoned or he's either beheaded, one of the two, according to history. Bartholomew, also called Nathaniel. There's different versions of his death, and all of them are pretty, pretty nasty. Some say that he was flayed alive before he got killed. Some say he was tied to the back of a horse and drugged through the street to his death. So the thing, he did get murdered for the Lord. Pretty gruesome death, though. Thomas, the doubter, the twin, the one that always said, no, let's die with Jesus. He did die for Jesus. 72 AD, so he's a little bit later. Philip as well. He was speared in India. All these men went all over the world preaching Jesus Christ. And he went to the Indians, killed by Greeks, killed by Romans. That wasn't their homeland. How did most Jews die? Most good Jews died in their bed in their town where they were born. That's how most Jews die. That's how most people die, really. I think they said like 80 to 90% of people live within 15 miles of where they were born. I obviously am not one of those people. But these men went all over the world for Jesus Christ. Matthew, the tax collector, he was killed pretty quick too. In 60 AD, he's killed with a sword in Ethiopia. Down to Africa preaching Jesus Christ. James, they call him the less, not because he was less important, just because they call him, he's less known. He was crucified in Egypt. Date unknown. Judas, not obviously Judas Iscariot, but a different Judas, was in Syria, killed with an axe. None of these guys had a really nice death. not a single nice death. Interesting thing, history says about James, I forgot to mention that, in the Bible when he was walking to the execution block to get his head cut off, he was witnessing to his jailer. History says that the jailer was so impressed with James after he died, he said, I'm a Christian too, and knelt down and got his head cut off right after James. Imagine these men. I mean, look at Paul and Silas when they were in jails, singing, winning the jailers. These are some remarkable men. Two more and then we're going to be done. Simon the Zealot. There's many different opinions on how he died and when he died. There's nothing really clear about that. And then the last one, Matthias, the one that replaced Judas Iscariot, was stoned in Jerusalem, the only one that died in Israel. We die for Jesus Christ. Some good men that we need to follow in their footsteps. I'm not saying we need to die for the Lord like that, but have the zeal of the Lord like they did. Jesus took them from the fishing, from the fishing boats, took them from the tax collecting places, took them off the streets and said, we're going to change this world. So he's some good men. If I am here next week, I have some more stuff, but I will let you know. I should know by Tuesday or Wednesday. So, all right, we are dismissed.